For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the lord of the vineyard saith unto the steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them, and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil, because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many shall be called, but few chosen. We will end our reading. On this final day of the year, I want to give you my thanks and show you my appreciation for joining in on these programs for many people day by day, and for some people when they can. It is my privilege to preach the gospel and my privilege to have this opportunity to minister to you. I trust that you will be a regular listener as we enter into the new year, and that you will be a partner with us here as we let the Bible speak locally and across many parts of Canada on a number of stations. Calgary, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Toronto, St. John, Fredericton, New Brunswick, and Halifax, PEI, and several repeaters in the Maritimes. We're thankful for these opportunities to preach the gospel week by week and day by day. So we move now to our program for today, and again we are looking at serving the Lord and all that the blessing of God upon serving the Lord with all our hearts.
Now the kingdom work therefore is not based on performance, and the Lord takes your little attempts, and he blesses that effort, he blesses that desire, and he will reward you not according to your desert, but according to his marvelous grace. And that's what happens in Christian works. We are received and blessed even for the littlest task, even a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. Sometime I've used the illustration of a child going off to school and maybe in kindergarten. There's an art class, and of course they get a sheet of paper and they're painting and drawing. And after school, they run home and say, "Daddy, this is for you." And there's excitement in the child's heart to give this wonderful gift of a first attempt of art to the parent. And of course, the dad looks at that sheet and it's messy, it's dirty, it's no semblance of order, it's just one big mess. What does the father do? And he said, "You did this for me? You had me in your mind as you worked at this?" "Yes, Daddy." "Oh, dear." And he just reaches down and hugs that child because of the efforts. As God looks down upon our service for him, it's imperfect. It's messy. It is sometimes the wrong way around. And sometimes we even make a mess of it along the way. But God grants gracious rewards for every attempt and every act of service. And even at the 11th hour, you may have wasted many, many years. You have given up your youth to vain things. You have sown to the flesh. You have served the world. But even at the 11th hour, if you will give your heart to the Lord and serve him, you will be blessed, because the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Now I come to the second point. The master will hire all who come so that they do not be idle. Now, I want you to see that word idle in verse 3. "And they saw others standing idle in the marketplace." Then in verse 6, it comes up twice. About the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, "Why stand ye here all the day idle?" Now, you'll notice, of course, in the English, that is spelled I-D-L-E. That means they are doing nothing. But it rhymes with idol, I-D-O-L, which is idol worship, false worship. And of course, this is what the parable is addressing. Those who are idle are not serving God. They're lazy. They are rebellious. They refuse. And they stand around doing nothing but serving themselves. And in that way, they break the first commandment. They do not and will not worship the Lord, living for self. And of course, Satan uses idle hands for his work. And sinners are easily lured into the counsel of the ungodly, to stand in the company of scorners, and they are rebels to God who will not serve him. Now, what about the idle Christian? And I have to shift gears a little bit. Those who are idle, idolaters, and false worshippers, they're the unconverted, they're the unsaved. But what about the person who professes to be a Christian? And all that we can say about you is that you are an idle Christian. You are doing nothing, absolutely nothing, for the kingdom of God. There is little real worship. And sometimes you can come to God's house and you're not in the spirit of worship at all. And you might open the hymn book, but you may as well not, because your lips hardly move. Your voice is hardly heard. There's a distance, there's a disconnect between what's going on in your heart and the glory of God. And then in your life, there's very little real Bible study. Oh, some people talk about my verses for the day, But when they read them and close the book and try to go back the next day, they don't even remember what they read the day before. The Bible is really a toy not truly used to know God. And then there's very little prayer, very little engaging in prayer. Praying through, praying until you know that you've really gotten through to God. That's the prayer that we need to see. No self-denial. Someone says, well, I would do that, but it's going to cost me. And they back off. And there's pride, the pride of life. And that's certainly not for the glory of God. And then the last one I'll mention is very little witnessing. When did you last talk to someone about your Savior and just tell them how much the Lord Jesus means to you? You see, that's the idol professing Christian. And the Bible says that they are like salt, and the salt loses its savor, then it's good for nothing to be trodden underfoot of men. You'll find that in Matthew 5. And salt, when it is wholesome, has properties that will retain purity. It will withstand corruption. But when those properties are gone out of the salt, it's no longer useful. It will not act as a preservative or a purifier anymore. It's gone. And so that salt is just to be thrown on the roadway to be trampled underfoot of men. It is of no domestic use. And surely that can happen to a church or a particular Christian. When the church loses its saltiness, when the Christian ceases to be a witness, then we are like salt that loses its savor. What are we good for? We have lost our usefulness unto God. Now it's a very sad thing to see men and women who have no heart for God's glory. I was reminded this week of a text that used to be on my bedroom wall as a little boy. Now, I grew up on a farmhouse, and my brother and I shared a bedroom, and we had an old picture frame, and I saw one just like it this week, and I was reminded of this, and it hung on the well, on the wall, and on some sick days, you know, measles and mumps and all those things that a child gets, an hour after hour staring at those four bare walls with this lone picture, there was this text, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." But you know, I didn't know the Creator. I didn't know who God was. My home was not a Christian home. We rarely read the Bible. Church was a pain. We were really not a born-again Christian family. And all those years were wasted. The first 18 years of my life were just a waste. They were idle. I was doing absolutely nothing for God. And at that time, life is like a vacuum. There's just nothing, pure emptiness. And I believe what God used in my life was the passing of my father when I was 17 years old. And then when I heard the gospel at Omaha Free Presbyterian Church, that was way back in 1974, many years ago, at 18 years of age, I heard the way of salvation. And that's when I began to serve the Lord. And all the idle, all the emptiness was over. How can a generation get to that point? In the book of Judges, it says that there rose up another generation after them that knew not the Lord. I wonder tonight, are you that generation? Some young people here this evening. Is it possible that you are that very generation, that your life is going to be idle, empty, useless to God, no living for His honor and His glory? All you're going to do is live for yourself and your own agenda. That's the idol. And I trust tonight that you will recognize the emptiness of your life and realize that you truly do need the Lord in your soul and that you need to serve him. Now lastly, the master gives out gracious rewards. There is a definite payday or pay hour in this case, and it would seem to be the 12th hour. Each worker, no matter what time they started their daily employment, each of them received one penny. Now you take that into the Christian life. There are some people who are given to walk with God all their days for many, many years and decades. And what a blessing that is. But the first shall be last. The newest convert in the church, the newest disciple of Christ, will gain the same rewards as the oldest believer that has worked long and hard in the kingdom of God. And you not only can be saved at the 11th hour, but you can begin your service for God at the 11th hour and lose nothing. And all those wasted years, all those days and nights of empty, worldly, even sinful pleasure, you can gain all, because when you become a Christian, your sins are remitted as if they were never committed. The slate is wiped clean. You're made as white as snow in the sight of God, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you have all of Christ, all of his grace, all of his mercy, and every promise in the book is ascribed to the new believer as much as the older. Now, what a great encouragement this is, because none of us here are like the Apostle Paul. None of us here are like those great men in the hall of faith who have served God so triumphantly and valiantly. We will never be like them. We're only just little squirts in comparison to the great deeds of those mighty men of God who have served the Lord. But the Apostle Paul has no more of Christ than I do. I have as much of the Savior as any other servant of God. Now they're all dead. They lived in the first century. They saw great and mighty things at Pentecost and later at the revivals of the church. But the little lonely Christian in our day and generation has every portion and all the fullness of grace in God. Even in old age. And we don't really have any old people here tonight. Everybody's young here. At least as I look down, there's a lot of young people here tonight. But the oldest person who begins the Christian life, what an encouragement. The dying thief on the cross, he was just minutes, hours away from death. But we'll see him in heaven. This day thou shalt be with me in paradise, Jesus said. He got all of paradise and all the blessings. There is a great equality in the gospel. This is a wonderful encouragement to us, and we shall be well rewarded. Now, without speaking further, let's go to the book of Galatians, chapter 3 and verse 24. Galatians, chapter 3 and verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that means just as if we'd never sinned. That means we are declared righteous in God's sight by faith, not by works. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now that's not saying that all the people in the world are the children of God. That's the modern heresy and lie of the devil. But all who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are the children of God. For as many of you as has been baptized into Christ, and that's not water baptism, it is a spiritual union into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And so, yes, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And what a wonderful thing that here in the 21st century, we are candidates for all the fullness of the gospel just as much as those first century believers. This is exciting stuff. This is thrilling that we can begin a new year on this basis, that we have all the fullness of the blessing of God in Christ Jesus. It's all of grace. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And those who do labor long, who gave them the strength to do it? Those who did help the most and longest in the vineyard and bring forth good grapes, who gave them the skills, the abilities, and the persistence to stick at the work? God gives us everything. Once you understand that God is the creator, the great giver, and we receive every gift, every skill, every talent, every opportunity at his hand, then we haven't really done a thing. It's the grace of God in us that labors for him. Paul said, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" I close with this little comment, story. I think it was Mr. Spurgeon who told this in one of his sermons. And it was a preacher that was called to a church, and God was pleased to give him much spiritual success. I use that biblically, advisedly, to see people come, hear the gospel, trust the Lord, grow in grace. The church was flourishing. And of course, when he went to heaven, he found out that he did not get as great a reward as one of his members in the church. And he asked the Lord about it and said, "Why not? Why did I not get a larger reward for all the blessings and the success we saw in the church?" And the answer came, "Your member was the man who sat on the steps of the pulpit and prayed, and he gets the greater reward. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last." God's kingdom is a great kingdom. We are all called to labor, and there are gracious rewards. Are you up for it? Are you willing to serve? Why will you stand idle all the day? Why will you waste your life in trinkets and stuff that will burn up when you can build on this wonderful, sure foundation, which is Christ? May God bless you tonight.
Oh, the seasons come and go, summer sun and winter snow. Though the passing years to earth their changes lend, there is one whose love so free for all time will changeless be. Jesus always is the same true friend. Jesus is my dearest friend every day. Jesus is my dearest friend, come what may. Tongue or pen could never tell how much he loves me. Jesus is my true and dearest friend. Time's swift current onward glides, there is nothing which abides. Through the fleeting years, all things must surely end. Friends may fail or faithless be, but there's one who cares for me. Jesus always is the same true friend. Jesus is my dearest friend every day. Jesus is my dearest friend, come what may. Tongue or pen could never tell how much he loves me. Jesus is my true and dearest.
Well, on this New Year's Eve, we want to wish you the Lord's blessing from our house to yours. And I hope that you will be blessed today through this message and encouraged to press on serving the Lord. Life may have its challenges, but we're going home to glory soon. We're going to see the city bright. We're going to see the King in all his marvelous beauty. What a great thing it is to be saved. What a great thing it is to be redeemed and to be sure of eternal life with God. And I want to personally thank you for each one who has been in touch and who keeps us encouraged as we serve the Lord by this means. God has given us this radio ministry that we are utilizing to the full with all the abilities that God has given, and we're leaning on the Lord for his help and his provision day by day as we bring the message of the gospel to you and across this country of Canada. God has given us a great mission field, and I trust that the Lord will be glorified in every attempt to serve and to honor him. So stay with us, and I look forward to hearing from you in the new year. And may the Lord bless your home, bless your heart, and encourage you greatly. So rejoice in the Lord with all your heart on this New Year's Eve, because the end is not yet, and the best is yet to come. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Please go to our website, ltbs.ca, and there you will get all the information on our radio ministry and our church ministry, ltbs.ca. You'll find helpful articles, you will find gospel literature, and look, please, for a little book called A New Beginning. There's a search box that you can look for that. And also sermons and past programs. If you would like to hear this program again or forward it on to a friend, you can do that from the website. So I trust that you will pay a visit to that. And again, I want to thank you for all your support and interest during the year that has gone by. And we wish you God's blessing in the new year to come. I trust that this new year will be the year of deliverance from this pandemic. Let's just ask the Lord to be going before us. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer today in the name of the Lord Jesus. We call upon thee to be our God, our guide, and our strength in this new year. O Lord, we need your presence, we need your help, we need your favor upon us, and I pray that you will watch over every one of your children, those that are redeemed by the blood and trusting in your so great salvation. Thank you, Lord, for our Savior. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for glory ahead of us. And we look to thee to bless us day by day. We ask it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And again, the Let the Bible Speak program, LTBS.ca.